Now, we go back to this before we slip to the back and eat. Look in chapter number 1. Look in chapter number 1. Chapter number 1, 1 Corinthians 1. Remember, this is going to be that foundation that's laid for the book of Corinthians that we can keep going back to and pondering. When he says in verse number 4, he says, I thank my God always concerning you. Why do I thank Him? I thank Him for the grace of God, which was given to you, wasn't earned by you, but it was what? Giving to you. And it was given to you by somebody. Who was it given by? It was given by Christ Jesus. That's right. Jesus is the personification of God's grace. If you can put a person on grace, it is Jesus. That's who He is. He's the personification of the grace of God. And when God gives grace, it's always going to be through Jesus. It's always going to be through Jesus. He is that gift. That you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed or established in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now God is faithful, by whom you were called, and you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now if God gave you grace, He gave you grace because He called you into grace. And the grace that He called you in was the grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fellowship that we have. Verse number 10, He says, Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same things, that is, one voice. You have one voice as a body. That there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, that is one vision and one voice, and the same judgment. That is saying one verdict that you have. Now notice what verse number 17 says, and I'm just going to draw a conclusion to all this. Verse 17 says, For Christ did not send me to baptize. That would be Paul. That's what he's saying. I wasn't sent to baptize you. I was sent to preach the gospel. God had other people set aside to baptize you. But to preach the gospel, not with gimmicks, not with games, and not with garbage. Just remember that. Not with wisdom of words, for fear the cross of Christ be of made of no effect. That word effect means that the cross of Christ would be empty. If I added my games and gimmicks and garbage to it, I would just nullify the cross and take away the whole message of the power of God, because I was trying to convince you to put faith in my games and my gimmicks and my garbage to get a following. But He said, that's what I didn't come. That's what God didn't send me to preach gimmicks, games, and garbage. He sent me to preach a good news, the gospel, and that good news introduced you to Jesus. But when you were introduced to Jesus, Jesus had an effect upon your life. That is, that the cross has an effect. The cross is not empty. It affects you. It affects me. Anybody that's been encountered by the cross has been affected by the cross. That message wasn't emptied. It had life in it. And that life affects people. Amen? Amen. It affects people. And that's what Paul is trying to draw out. That's what he's pulling out in this. And when you think about that, he is saying that God has affected you, but He's affected you forever. If Jesus Christ ever affects you, He forever affects you. Amen? If you ever saved, you are forever saved. There's a saying you probably heard, once saved, always saved. You ever heard that? I don't use that just because it's misused and misunderstood. So I use the term this way: if ever saved by Jesus, you are forever saved by Jesus. Because anybody that's forever saved by Jesus had a point in time in their life when they were affected by Him, and that effect has a permanent, eternal, everlasting effect upon their life. That means you're going to do everything right. That's obvious. How many of y'all have done everything right? How many of y'all have messed it all up and done things to discredit the cross of Calvary? Well, everybody has. That's not saying that. It's saying that your salvation didn't depend on you, and your salvation won't depend upon you to keep it either. It's dependent on Him who is faithful. Amen? But it has an effect. It's not empty. It has life in it. And that's why Paul says in verse number 5 that you were enriched. See, if you were affected, you were enriched. You were enriched. Why was you enriched? Well, verse 6 tells us. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. The word confirmed means to establish. God's testimony, the effect of Jesus, was established in you and not just to you in words. God got in you. And when God gets in you, He's in you. And when He's in you for forever. That's right. God stamps you with His DNA when He makes you a new creature in Christ. God puts His truth in you, for He is the truth, and that truth has an everlasting effect on you. So, He's saying a couple things. Number one, that when you heard the message of the cross, it affected you. That message was established in you, and that work of grace has enriched your life. God added eternal life. I jotted down a little note in here. The value of your life has been eternally enriched in every way, and this enrichment will be manifested in two distinct and primary ways. And that's what Paul draws out. In what way? Verse number 5. You were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. In all utterance and all knowledge. What is utterance? Communicating. What's knowledge? Comprehension. So He's saying that you were enriched by the grace of God because God established Himself in you, has affected you, and that enrichment has added to your life an eternal value in the things that you now comprehend about life, about grace, about truth, about Jesus. And what you comprehend about that, that eternal value that's been added to your thinking, your comprehension, will be manifested in your communication and how you communicate what you think. And God's added eternal value to both your thinking and your tongue, to your talking. You've been enriched. You've been given authority. For an example, law enforcement. Do they have the authority by the state? Let's say them state troops, Steve Jackson. Does Steve have the authority granted to him? Has he been enriched by the state of Mississippi to patrol the highways and the byways of the state of Mississippi? And to enforce the laws as needed? Who stands behind him in doing those laws, in abiding and keeping those laws? The state does. He's been enriched by the state to exercise that authority. Keith, you were an insurance business, right? Did you have to go through some kind of training to get certified? Now, once you completed those courses, then the state of Mississippi says, we back you because you've been adequately trained to do assessments and evaluations and do what you need to do. So you have the backing of the state of Mississippi that makes it legal for you to be a representative in the insurance world. The state has enriched you to do what you do. You've been enriched. Davin, does any Joe Smucatelli have the authority of your company to manufacture sinks like y'all and put y'all's seal or trademark upon y'all's work? Does just anybody have that authority to do that? But your company has enriched you with the capacity and the need and the equipment to do the job, and then put their name upon that work and send it off to wherever it needs to be. You've been enriched by that company. Same way, does Mossy Oak giving Greg the authority to represent Mossy Oak and doing public work for the public as they contract you out to do dirt work for them? You can't just go out there on your own and do it. You're doing it under the name of Mossy Oak Company, and then Mossy Oak has enriched you, not only enriched you, but they also have equipped you with the equipment. Now, let's say if Mossy Oak said, I want you to go do that work, but I'm not going to give you a track hoe or a dozer or a skid steer or a dump truck or a low boy or a vehicle, but I want you to do all the work that all these other people are doing without that equipment. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, would it? Did you have to pay for any of that equipment? They equip you with that equipment. Same way with Keith. You make a living because you've been authorized to do what you do. That's the idea of being enriched. God has personally enriched us with His authority so that our comprehension, the way that we think and the way we communicate and talk, has now been enriched with eternal truth and eternal life. So that when we speak, we can speak as an ambassador of heaven. We've been enriched and we've also been equipped with what we need to get that done. You're not going out there to do it on your own. Amen? You have His authority and you have His approval and you have His backing to do. So no different than your company, Davin, or your company, Greg, or your company, Keith, or whoever's company it is, no different than that, that authorizes you to do what you do and then supply you with the means to do it. That's exactly what Jesus has done. We're just talking about with eternal things. Eternal things. Amen? Amen. And you can go out with confidence. For an example, He says this in verse number 7. Why did He do it? So that we come short in nothing. We come short in no gifting, no grace, so that we can eagerly wait for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of y'all ever remember in school? Y'all remember in school when I used to play ball and I used to pick teams on who was going to play ball and who was going to be on whose team or what? How many of y'all was ever usually picked in the top five people? Anybody? How many of y'all was normally picked at the bottom end? How many picked y'all because they had to pick you, but if they didn't have to pick you, they would let you sit on the sideline? Stephanie was that type of person. Huh? She just wasn't equipped. She didn't want to be picked. She only did it because she would have got an F if she didn't participate. Are you with me? She had to participate. She didn't want to participate. And you know why she didn't want to participate? Why did she not eagerly wait to participate? Well, she lacked all confidence in her natural abilities to play softball or whatever it is out there on a ball field. She just wasn't gifted to do it, so she lacked confidence in doing it, and she wasn't eager to get out there. Now, somebody that had some ability was eager. Come on, man, pick me. I'm ready to play. And you make sure that other team picks him because I'm going to take him out when we're out there playing. That's the difference between somebody that's got an ability and somebody that doesn't have an ability. It's the difference of looking and eagerness and earnestness to play or saying, you know, when they pick in teams, Stephanie used to do like this. When they was looking through the crowd, Stephanie put her head down. She'd put her head down like, don't see me. I'm not here. Don't pick me. You see, that's the difference. When God enriched you, He enriched you with life, eternal life, so that now you can think differently about life, think differently about grace, think differently about suffering, think differently about death, think differently about everything, because He's added eternal truth to your thinking. And because He's added eternal truth to your thinking, now you communicate eternal life to those that He immerses you in. And you're not timid or afraid or scared because He's gifted you. And you're eagerly and earnestly doing the work of the King, anticipating the return of the King. Amen?
Amen.
It's the difference of what He puts in us. He takes a nobody and makes them into somebody that wants to reach everybody for the glory of the King. Amen?
Amen.
That's the neat thing about Him. He can take somebody that, matter of fact, none of us have the ability to do anything eternal until He enriched us with it. So, then what does He do? He then empowers us. How does He empower us? By giving us one voice, giving us one vision, and giving us one verdict. One verdict is simply saying, if God has made a judgment on a thing, that's the thing we stand for, and that's the thing we stand on. If God said it, we stand on it. Amen? What's the vision? To do the work of the kingdom. Go plant and water and grow and co-laborers with Him. What's our voice? Our voice is to go proclaim Jesus, 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 and the difference that He makes in our everyday life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. He makes all the difference. Father, we thank You tonight for this time we've had. We praise You and give You glory. We ask that You help us, that You teach us these things, that we can walk in Your authority, Your confidence, knowing that we are enriched and we are backed and we are sent and we are commissioned by You to do what You've sent us to do. And then You equipped us to do it. You've empowered us to do it. So, Lord, we can't help but praise You. I thank You for our folks. I pray that Your blessings would be upon them and that we would be with one voice. We would be with one vision, and we would stand on that one verdict of what You've said, and that we would rejoice before You and go in Your name and just continue to build one another up, continue to reach the lost, and continue to equip each other to do what You want us to do. So thank You. Thank You for this time. Thank You for our fellowship around the table. Thank You for the opportunity to pray, and thank You for life. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all.